Namngiyakhona, the podcast inspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me. Welcome, boys and girls, ladies and gents, nazo sesibuyile to Namngiyakhona podcast. Because we believe that if it's going to be, it's up to me. And today I'm very excited to have the guest that we do have, because everything that he has done is certainly because he believed he can, and he's shown us that he can. We have today Weza Matomane, aka Weza That Guy. Weza, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, and want to remind you guys before we start, please comment down below, how was your day influenced by today's conversation? Were you inspired at the end of this? And share it with your friends if you felt that you were inspired. And from me, your host, Buntu Majaja, I am very pleased to have Weza today, who is the CEO of WTG Media House, as well as MD of Mzansi Arts, but an all-round MC, motivational speaker, and most of all, voiceover artist. Just an all-round awesome guy. Welcome, Weza. I think we can jump into it.
Sure.
It's a fantastic journey that you've been on. And as an entrepreneur in the media advertising space, I think you've even gone into the social innovation space. Why for you was this a journey as a young person to take the route less taken and be an entrepreneur?
Wow. Okay. So once upon a time when I was in high school, an entrepreneur, like some successful man, I'm not even sure who it was, because, you know, these people just rock up at your school and you're just like, okay. Yeah, but there's one thing that he said that was quite interesting. He said, if you choose to be an employee, then you have one good day in the month and 30 bad days. But if you choose to be an employer, then you have 30 good days and one bad day, which is payday. So I wanted to have 30 good days. So it just seemed like the right thing to do. But I think beyond that, every time I've looked at people who are entrepreneurs, I could see that, you know, first of all, they have this day well spent, where they can literally do the things that they're passionate about and go after their dreams and assemble people to help them achieve those dreams. So I am a dreamer myself. I am someone who wants to live within my passion, within my purpose. And I really want to live a life where I enjoy what I do every single day.
Powerful concepts there, I must say, my man. I love what you're saying about passion and purpose and wanting to live and have a dream. Is that something that you've always, you know, had a dream, like a purpose to live for? And why is it important that, you know, people should try and live accordingly to their purpose and dream? When was that apparent for you?
In varsity, I was in an area, now no longer in the Vaal where I grew up, but now in Pretoria. And things were happening in Pretoria. You see a young person with a camera and you're like, hey, what are you doing? What are you shooting? Can I get involved? We had our own TV show. It was not even a real TV show. We called it The Coolest Big Events. Why? Because you got a camera and I want to be a presenter. So let's like do something. So we'd go to people's big events and would say, we're from the coolest big events, and they would like, oh, they're media, let them in. And we would interview celebrities and all sorts of people. But this for me felt like something I was happy to even do for free. So I think it is important that we identify what that is that you are passionate about, that thing that you are so passionate about, that you love doing, that you would even do it for free. Mm. If everyone were doing the things that they love to do, then we would generally have a society that is much more content, a society that is filled with people that are doing things with joy, going the extra mile because they love what they're doing. Not everyone likes the same stuff. There are people who really love engineering, and that's what they love to do. And we would hope that situations and circumstances didn't force people who didn't want to do that to now end up doing that, because that's when you get people who are not necessarily as eager to to go the extra mile. So it's important,
and it goes back to what you were saying about having 30 bad days and only one good day. So the people that are employed having 30 bad days aren't doing what they love to do. And for you, it sounds as though you were able to connect with that very early on, and you started a show out of thin air, out of your passion. And some people have a passion. I think I can do this. I really enjoy doing this, but I also have to pass. I also have to work, you know, and so there's something sometimes stopping some people. For you, did you have that? What made you so convinced, and why is it, why was that important, and how did you come over that? Why was it important for you?
Here's what I started to realize when I was in varsity, after watching countless YouTube motivational videos, that we are all usually driven by fear. Normally, fear keeps us from trying certain things, from starting new things. We are scared of what if it doesn't work, what if it fails, what if. So fear normally keeps us back from going out there and pursuing things. And I want to illustrate it in this way. Imagine there are two buildings, skyscraper high, and there's these two rooms that are on the same floor, the 100th floor above, and they're connected by a balance beam that is about this thick, right? And there's the balance beam.
I can picture it, I can
see.
Yes,
so there's this long rod that connects these two rooms with each other. Many of the people start off in this one room. This one room here is an empty room with this big bowl of something to eat so that you can live. But I'll explain what that something is just now. The other room has this big buffet table with all the richest fruit you can imagine. The vegetables, all of the things, colorful. Man, what's your favorite fruit?
You can see it.
Yes, everything's there. It's the promised land. And all you need to do to connect this room, to go from this room to that room, is walk on the balance beam. But now let's talk about what's in this room, the one that we are all in initially. There's a big bowl of Weet-Bix, but it's Weet-Bix mixed with water. But there's more water than Weet-Bix. And it's like, it's meow, meow, meow type of vibes. It's not nice, right?
Nothing bad about the Weet-Bix, but this one is just compared.
So now here's the thing. There's enough nutrients here to stay alive. Just, it's not enjoyable. Many people are in positions where they're like, look, I don't exactly love my job, but like, it pays the bills. And then you'd say, but what would you do if you could do what you're passionate about? Like, I'll live there. I would definitely go and live on that side. That's the promised land. All of us want to go that side. And I'd say, why don't you go? I'm like, I'm scared. Like, what if I fall? But what is falling really? Well, if I take a beam this big, let's say it was actually on the floor, and I put it on the floor, you'd easily walk on it.
Sure.
No problem. In fact, you wouldn't even lose your balance because it's thick enough. If it's on the floor, you'd do it easily. Now, because it's up there, you know why you're falling? Because you're scared of falling. You're not falling because you lost your balance. You're falling because of the thought of, what if I fall? You are usually scared to step off on, and then you could actually get to do the things that you have always dreamt of doing. So I needed to imagine myself in the worst case scenario. What if it doesn't work out? What if I don't get booked? What if the invoices don't keep coming in and I don't actually make money? What will life look like then? I needed to imagine the worst case scenario and still imagine myself coming out of that a victor. And I said, well, then I would probably not have any money to afford a flat, and then I would maybe move into someone's garage, and then I'll have to live on sugar water and dry bread. And I was like, wait a minute. I've lived that life
before.
That's
how I grew up, isn't it?
Yes, that's how I grew up. Once upon a time, myself and my mother and my three siblings, five of us, lived in a single garage. And in that garage, it was the bedroom and the kitchen and everything. And once upon a time, that's why I did my homework, on the floor right there. So I know what it's like when you have nothing. You know what happens when you have nothing? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yes! When you hit the ground, you can only bounce. So that's the you know, the encouragement that I have is to say, imagine yourself when all of this does go down and see yourself still alive and still being able to carry on and bouncing from the ground and going back up.
And for you, on growing, you know, in towards your vision, was there a time when, you know, you failed and how you saw failure as an opportunity to grow, and actually it ended up being the very thing that needed to happen for you to take another step forward, or even a big step closer to your dream?
I think there were many moments like that that eventually taught me a bigger lesson of life, is that you will go through different stages of exposure to this dream that you want. And sometimes you are not yet, let's say, character-wise ready to handle this particular thing. And you need to first learn how to be everyone else before you can be the main guy.
Yeah, the one you want to be.
Yes, yes. So sometimes the first few failures are there to teach you certain lessons so that you can develop a certain characteristic, or to develop a certain resilience, a certain determination to just keep on going. But it's a chance to try, but to try smarter. And it was for me, because when I was starting out, I used to watch a lot of YouTube videos from people who had made it. You know, I'd watch people like Brian Tracy and Robert Kiyosaki and Les Brown and many different people, right? And I don't have access to these people like right next to me, but YouTube gives me access to them. So instead of watching music videos on YouTube and seeing what Ricky Rick's doing and AKA and whatever,
dance move.
Well, how about you just tune into some learning content, people that you otherwise wouldn't have access to, but now you do because they're on YouTube. You couldn't get to that concert, let's say conference, because a ticket to the seminar is 2,000 Rand, but it's also available on YouTube and the information's the same, and you could just listen in, make some notes, and actually take the advice. One of the things that they were saying there was start early, but like fail. It's okay, but just get smarter and then try again, and then you're just going to get smart, and eventually you're just too smart to fail. And I thought,
yeah, that's possible.
and then I would try these things early because, you know, I was in varsity and I thought that's a good time to try. So I tried, and it just gets better with time. With me, the blessing was that entrepreneurship was introduced early in my life. So when I was very young, at around 11, 12, it's holidays, my mother would say, guys, here's 20 Rand, go buy some oranges and go to the township and sell the oranges at the soccer field. And then you're selling oranges. And then next thing you see, okay, these oranges are working. What else can you sell? So you sell oranges plus this or that. And then you see what's working and what doesn't work. You see the profit that you make, you come back again. Eventually, we had a lot of apricots in our house, like apricots from the tree. Then my mother said, take all these apricots, put them in a bucket, and go sell that. But now the township economy don't know apricots. They know peaches and stuff. And these apricots were like a new thing to this particular group that we're selling to. Now at 11, 12 years old, I'm learning to introduce a new product into the market, but first educate my client regarding my new product, make them taste, but then understand that if everyone tastes, I'll run out of apricots. So I was selling them for like 10 cents. But it was not really about the money for my mother. It was about learning the success principles that come with entrepreneurship. Eventually, we switched over to mealie meal, maize, like a actual umbona, like maize meal. Mm. So now you're out there, you cooked it, you bought it from the farm. So my mother would drive us, take us to the farm. My dad's driving, my mother would pick the stuff, put it in the boot, we'd prepare it. And most of this was never really because we needed the money at that particular time, but it was more for the sake of, let these kids be busy in something positive and something that they can learn for the future, you know. So even now, whether you're a parent watching this or whether you're, you know, a younger person thinking, what can I do in the holidays? Find ways to make money. And even if it's not for the sake of money, but for the sake of learning entrepreneurship and really gaining the confidence that comes along with it. Because later in life, when you start making bold moves, you remember a time where people didn't know about your apricots, but people bought apricots.
At the end of the day, even though many people don't buy, don't leave with anything, or don't even like your stuff, that's okay. Just keep doing why you started and keep determined. And over time, you're going to find new ways of branding yourself better or selling better and just being a better person and all. And maybe I want to touch on one last point, if I may, sir. If you look at the 16-year-old Weza and, you know, he's thinking about his dream and his purpose and why to start now, start early, what would you want to tell him? What would you want to say to a 16-year-old Weza today?
The cool thing about 16-year-old Weza was that he was experimenting with something new. He just heard that you need to write down your dreams, write down goals, and even if it's crazy, in fact, it must scare you a little bit. 16-year-old Weza was in an Afrikaans school, 100% Afrikaans school, that had never had a black prefect, a black head boy, a black guy in the top 10, a black guy in any of these prestigious places. And he wanted to be that first guy. He wanted to be that guy. And it was 2008. So I remember taking out a book in the beginning of the year and I wrote, let's make 2008, 2000 and great. And then I wrote down some crazy goals. Some crazy goals that I felt if anyone were to see this, they would laugh at me. I was in the C team, in the school's rugby C team, and I wrote that I wanted to play in the Craven Week team. Like that's
team?
Like
the first the, team,
not first team, Craven Week, meaning like provincial. And I want to be in the starting lineup of like the national, like when the provinces are playing against each other, Siyakholisi levels. And that's what I wrote there. And I wrote that I want to, you know, be in like a prefect. And I wrote crazy things that...
And at that time, you didn't believe them either. You were just like, let me just be as crazy as possible on this list.
Yeah, yeah. So you write down all the things that really, really stir you to say, man, if I could achieve this, I'll feel so good. Yeah. And you write down those things. And yes, it was a type of thing where you want to hide it because if your brother sees it, they'll laugh at you and say, you said you want to be a what?
Because next year they're going to look at you and say, what did you say? What did you say?
Yeah. But you know what? It was the first time I was trying this out, this thing of writing down your dreams. Because I've heard it, but I'd never tried it before. I was trying that concept as well as the concept of do your best and God will do the rest. But you must make sure that it's your best, like your absolute best. And what does absolute best means? It sometimes means staying a little bit later after practice to practice some more. When it's holidays, jog. When it's, you know, eat the right stuff. It's chicken licking, but don't eat them skin. And like, you know, all of these little sacrifices, because you literally have your goals in front of you and you're working towards them religiously, academics-wise, the same type of thing. I was nowhere on the academic list and here I want to be in the top 10. I was nowhere in the leadership space and here I want to be a prefect, not only a prefect, but a head boy. But guess what? Eventually I achieved all those things, as crazy as they were. And
amazing.
Everything is possible, but you need to actually aim. Most of us are actually not really aiming. And the crazy part is this. We all get what we are aiming for. Even when we're aiming at nothing, we hit it right on the head.
There you have it, guys. You gotta aim for something. Know what you want and write it down. I think very inspirational thoughts, very inspirational perspective. And thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Fantastic. There you go, guys. Please comment which part of this really stuck it for you. What are you going to be writing down for next year? 2020 is already the end. Maybe you had some things and we all saw what happened this year, but maybe there's some lessons that you can take into 2021. And if you were inspired today, share it with your friends and like this video. Thank you so much. Until next time, Nam Ngiyakhona, because if it is going to be, It can only be up to me.
Stay inspired and be entrepreneurial. Follow us on social media and find us on WhatsApp. Nam Ngiyakhona.